so common in the life of every congregation. If you've been a believer in Jesus Christ for a while, if you're already a Christian, but you've never been baptized, you know that baptism and the Holy Communion, they are mandatorily for Christians. If you believe in Jesus, sooner or later, according to God's word, to the will of Christ, you need to be baptized. So if you have this desire in your heart, pray about it and meet with our elders after the church service, not necessarily this Sunday, one of the Sundays. Another thing, if you've been a Christian for a while, if you've been baptized, but you are not a church member, you're not on the membership list at Thornhill Community Church, again, consider this prayerfully, seriously in your heart and your mind, whether you have this desire to join our church as a member. And if you have such a desire, talk to our elders, whether it's Stan, Andrew, and myself, after one of the Sunday services. And also I'm asking Father and Son, Wayne the Junior and Wayne the Senior, to stay after the service to meet with our elders. We won't keep you long, hopefully not. I cannot speak for Andrew and Stan, but we'll keep it short. But we would like to meet with you and discuss some important things. That being said, if somebody wants to be baptized in Lake Else Lake, it's not to me. You can talk to and persuade Andrew and Stan to do that. But if it's not winter, we have a baptistery, so you can be baptized by Pastor Vlad over here. Another thing, I was thinking whether to ask you to rise and stand on your feet as I'm reading Genesis chapter 5, but let's make an exception because recently I had an accident, not playing chess. I cannot move chess pieces with the toes of my feet, but I was thinking that I'm a young buck. I can just walk on the trails, no problems, but got something in my right ankle area, right foot ankle area. So I'm not asking you to rise only this Sunday morning. You can be seated, but let me read chapter 5. We'll pray and we'll be studying this amazing chapter from God's word together. If you have your Bibles, will you please open them? Will you please turn to Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 32, and you may be seated just this Sunday morning. This is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Then the days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enosh lived 90 years and became the father of Kenan. Then Enosh lived 815 years after he became the father of Kenan, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. And Kenan lived 70 years and became the father of Mahalalel. Then Kenan lived 840 years after he became the father of Mahalalel, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and became the father of Jared. Then Mahalalel lived 830 years after he became the father of Jared, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will give us rest from our work and from the pain of our hands arising from the ground which Yahweh has cursed." Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come to your house, house of prayer and worship, to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, we're having quite a text to our attention to study this Sunday morning. Lord, bless our hearts and our minds to be awake, spiritually and physically, to swallow and digest your holy truth from this text and faithfully apply it in our lives. Lord, bless my mind, my heart, as a preacher of your word to deliver this message in the understandable manner for people to understand and for people faithfully apply it in your lives, in their lives. Lord, just be with us this Sunday morning and bless us in a special way. That's what we ask and pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. This is quite a chapter. The title of this message should be on this slide, The Line of Seth, Enoch Walked with God. The Line of Seth, Enoch Walked with God. I must admit that I had struggled to prepare this very sermon on Genesis chapter 5. It is not an easy task to preach on such a text, but by the grace of God, we can do all things through him who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. Many readers of the Bible might just skip over Genesis 5 because it is a long list of names. However, biblically, and in most cultures, especially in the Middle East, in Oriental cultures, ancestry was very important. For example, Gospel of Luke chapter 3 presents all these names so that the readers may get to know the genealogy of Christ. The genealogy of Jesus in Luke chapter 3 confirms the historical accuracy of Genesis 5. Let me say it again. The genealogy of Jesus in Luke 3 confirms the historical accuracy of genealogy in Genesis 5. The genealogy in Genesis 5 lists the descendants from Adam to Noah, and it's often interpreted by many as a prophetic account that points to Jesus Christ. This interpretation is based on the meanings of the names from Adam to Noah. I'm not going to give you all those names with all their literal meanings, translations, but I just will give you just a few. Adam, in Hebrew, Rudi, man created in God's image, but fell, leading to death and sorrow. Seth, in Hebrew, substituted, appointed to God's remnant, representing the continuation of the promised line. Enoch, in Hebrew, initiated, known for his long life, a precursor to Christ, who taught about God's kingdom. Noah, in Hebrew language, means rest. The fifth in the post-Adamic line, a precursor to Christ, who would bring rest, and true comfort. These names, when combined, form a prophetic sentence that delivers the gospel message to us. Humanity, Adam, was created but is destined for death and sorrow. God in his mercy sent his son, the blessed God, would come down through the line of Seth to dwell among us. Jesus came to teach us about God's kingdom and salvation. His death was necessary to bring salvation. Through his sacrifice, he offers rest and comfort to all who are weary and burdened, for all who need rest. This interpretation of Genesis 5 is supported by the fact that this genealogy is not just a historical record, but also a prophetic message embedded in this text about the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, who will provide people with true rest and salvation. Genesis 5 gives us an account of 1,500 years out of the total span of biblical history. There are no gaps in this chronogenealogy of Genesis 5. No gaps. Contextually, Genesis 4, chapter before it, presents the descent of Cain's line and introduces Seth and Enosh. Genesis 5 presents Seth's descendants up to Noah and his sons. We do not have much information about these patriarchs in Genesis 5, except probably for Enoch, who never physically died. Another thing has to be mentioned here. These or those patriarchs in Genesis 5 had very long lives, almost 1,000 years. The reason for such a long life is best sought in their genetics, which was not yet so damaged by various mutations. Point number one of this message sounds like this. The introduction to the generations of Adam. We're back to verses 1 and 2. This is a book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. These two verses repeat Genesis 1:26-27. When God created Adam and Eve in his image and likeness on day 6 of creation. It's a repetition of that passage. The word book in verse 1, means a written record. Creator God named the male and female humans man in verse 2. Man in the original Hebrew is Adam. However, this time the word Adam means mankind in general. Another phrase that's very important again to our attention is here. He created them male and female. This statement is a reinforcement of Genesis 1:27. It teaches that Creator God made only two genders of human beings, male and female, Adam and Eve. This fact is also confirmed in the Bible, in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. For instance, Matthew 19:4, Jesus' own words, his answer to Pharisees on the issue of divorce. Matthew 19:4 says, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Mark chapter 10, verse 6 says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." If you study human chromosomes, you will discover that the science confirms the existence of only two genders of humans. Whenever we hear a question from a person, from another human being, like when somebody is confused about his gender, ask that person to do a DNA test. It will show at the chromosome level who that person is in terms of gender. Before we move on, let us note that Adam and Eve were created by God in the likeness of God, verse 1. Then the first humans fell into sin of rebellion in the Garden of Eden. They showed disobedience to God's clear command in Genesis chapter 3. In the following verses, we're going to see that all descendants of Adam and Eve, including us today, were born according to Adam's fallen nature. All of us. They all inherited the sinful nature from their first parents, Adam and Eve. Point number two, and he died. This is a very pathetic statement, I know. And he died, verses 3 to 20 and in verses 25 through 31. Though Adam and Eve were sinful, were fruitful, Genesis chapter 5, verse 4. Let me read it one more time. When people have this question, where did they find candidates? Where did they find spouses to marry? Genesis 5, verse 4. Then the days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. He became the father of other sons and daughters. Remember, they had long lives. They could have many kids. I'm asking you now, dear friends, this Sunday morning, I'm asking you to count how many times in Genesis chapter 5 the phrase, and he died, is used. Use a few seconds if you have your Bibles in print or download scripture on your phones. In this chapter, how many times this phrase, and he died, is used? So use your time. Please count. How many times in chapter 5? And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. So does anybody have an answer? How many times? Eight. Eight times. Does anybody agree? Does everybody agree? Or if somebody disagrees, we should do recounting. So, but it's eight times. In any translations of the Bible, in the English language at least, eight times. Let me give you the verses. And he died. Verses 5, 8, 11, 14, 17, 20, 27, 31, eight times. Genesis 5 has been often called the tolling of the death bells because of this repeated expression, and he died. Genesis 5 presents the bloodline of the Messiah from Adam to Noah's son, Shem. And if you compare it with the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 36 and 38, you will see such a similarity there. Luke 3, 36 to 38 says, "The son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God." Again, Bible explains the Bible. The scripture interprets the scripture. Back to Genesis 5. Yes, there is this depressing phrase, and he died, in this chapter. This expression, and he died, reinforces the curse of death on the account of Adam's sin. Even those great patriarchs reaped the consequences of that original fall. Verse 3. When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Adam begot a son according to his fallen image. Whenever you have a dispute and some troubles and concerns in your process of parenting, like most of you, many of you are parents already, and some of you are future parents, whenever you're angry at your own son and your daughter, where did this boy and this girl come from? Why this boy and girl is so disobedient and unsubmissive to any authority and just capricious and naughty and greedy and selfish? I would encourage you to come back home after the service, come to your washroom and look at the mirror. Here he is, or here she is. They inherited the nature, this fallen nature, from us, from parents. So, Adam named a baby boy Seth, which means appointed. Adam and Eve had other children, according to verse 4. We don't know exactly how many. According to the text, they lived long for centuries and could have many, many children. According to verse 5, Adam lived how many years? 930. Does anybody in our congregation want to live that long? Don't be too shy. Raise your hands. Does anybody want to live 930 years? Anybody, please. Nobody? You guys are so pessimistic. Would you like to have hundreds of children? Raise your hands. Hundreds. Why not? Hundreds of kids. I mean, hundreds, hundreds. How about hundreds of pregnancies, dear ladies? Would you like to be pregnant? Like, say, 125 times. Eventually, after the global catastrophic flood, God dramatically reduced man's lifespan down to 70 years in average. Why did God reduce human life that much? Let me ask you first. Why did God reduce human life that much? From 100 years to 70 or to 80? Okay, with a pacemaker, maybe to 90. Or if you replace the battery and the pacemaker, maybe to 100. So, why did God reduce human life that much? Why? Do you ever, as you study, as you read the Bible, did you ever ask this question, why? Yes.
It's a good subject, but it's a result of time moving. It's a result of the waters above and the waters below.
Uh-huh. Like dramatic?
Mm-hmm.
It's there. Many Bible-believing Christians would agree with you that after this dramatic, catastrophic global event, flood, the climate definitely changed quite a bit. Dramatical change in climate. Yes. But that's what I came up with, kind of another answer. Probably, to bring us face to face with our own mortality. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, my dear ones, all Christians, Bible-believing Christians, must know where it is in the Bibles. Psalm 90 verse 10, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to might, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and wickedness, for soon it is gone and we fly away. It's there at Psalm 90 verse 10. And he died. Back to this phrase. As you study Genesis 5, what a reminder that holy God judges sin with death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Whenever we face a situation, we're not immune from that because we're so mortal in our flesh, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm including myself, the day is coming, that gray reaper for us, for our bodies. Whenever we hear this phrase, it can be our doctor, it can be anybody in this world saying, well, I think you have, your days are really numbered. You have a few days to live. As a child of God, you can use two answers. If you're truly a child of God, if heaven is your final destination, if heaven is where your citizenship is, you may say to anybody, to your doctor, to anybody, praises be to God. I'm going to be with Jesus soon, even if it's next week. But if you're not really excited about this perspective and your final goal, final destination, then we can be really upset, disappointed, depressed, gloomy, heartbroken. I'm going to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's move on. And Seth lived 105 years and became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. For all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. It is about Seth and his life of 912 years, and he died. And the same thing happened to Enosh in verse 11, Kenan in verse 14, Mahalalel in verse 17, Jared in verse 20, Methuselah in verse 27, and Lamech in verse 31. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And after the flood, in Genesis 9:29, we read the following. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. What a reminder is that everybody will die and meet their Creator, not Mother Nature, Creator. No human is able to stop people from dying. Nowadays, people say, oh, someday the science will make us totally immortal. They will even be able to download our thoughts, our brain, like an external disk and put it somewhere in the cloud. And you know, your kids, your grandkids, they can talk to you. They can insert it into your computer and you can talk to your deceased grandparents. That's a crazy, sinful stuff they're trying to achieve. They will fail. No human is able to stop people from dying. This is why it is so important to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior while you are here in this flesh. Romans 10:9 says, I think it's in our bulletins, this verse today, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, in our study of Genesis 5, we are coming to an amazing insertion, the rapture of Enoch. I hope that you always remember that this book, the Bible, is most of all about God, his holy attributes, and how he deals with us, his creation. It's about God, his attributes, and how he deals, communicates with us. Point number three. Enoch walked with God, verses 21 to 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he became the father of other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Can you imagine a man like Enoch, who so loved God and was so close to him that God gave Enoch an exception? And the only other one is Prophet Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, which says, 2 Kings 2:11. As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. God took Enoch and Elijah to heaven without dying, without facing physical death. What a man of God Enoch must have been. Now we need to do some digging into our text to understand it and apply it well in our lives for God's glory. Enoch in Hebrew language means dedication. Enoch grew into an extremely righteous, godly man. Our text singles him out as having walked with God. Verse 22. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. Wow. The Hebrew original word for walked means fellowship and communion, the service of a loyal servant. To walk with God could literally be translated into walk about or live with God. This is a figure of speech which signifies that Enoch had a close relationship and fellowship with God. Enoch's faith in God produces actions in words of witness. Why did I say that? What is the evidence? Well, remember the major principle of the Bible interpretation. The scripture interprets the scripture. How about Jude verses 14 and 15 in the New Testament? It was all these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lamb came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds which they had done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch spoke of the second coming of Christ centuries before Jesus' first coming. No doubt Enoch saw the wickedness increasing on the earth, and he was warning people that one day God would come back in judgment. even back then, before the global flood, Enoch was prophesying about the second coming of the Lord Jesus, before Jesus had even come the first time as a babe in a manger, which is amazing. It reminds us of how long-suffering, how patient our God is. This is the verse, 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Enoch walked with God. This phrase suggests a special intimacy with God and a godly, godly life. To walk with God is a matter of a lifetime. It's a matter of a lifestyle and not just a performance of an hour or two on Sunday morning in the local church. Verse 22. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. 365 years was the shortest lifespan among people who had lived before the global flood. But Enoch walked with God for 300 years. What a consistency. What a devotion to please God. Verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch became an exception to this gloomy phrase, and he died, what did Enoch do for God to take him to heaven? The answer, again, is in the Bible in Hebrews 11:5. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. By faith. By faith, sola fide. The phrase, and he was not, is just one word in the original Hebrew language, I probably cannot say it right, v'yenenu, meaning that Enoch disappeared. The reason for Enoch's disappearance was not death. Because the following phrase explains the cause with this causal word for, in other English translations, because God took him. The Hebrew word, lakak, our English word took, is the same word that is used to describe the rapture of Elijah in 2 Kings. He was likewise taken to heaven without dying. It was by faith that Enoch was taken to heaven, Hebrews 11:5. He believed God, walked with God, and he went to be with God, which is an example for all of us to follow. Enoch's life of faith was not a private thing. For he boldly proclaimed that God would come to judge the world for its rebellion against God. And we have already read this passage in Jude, verses 14 and 15. He was prophesying. He prophesied about God's coming in judgment. There are two cases of rapture to heaven in the Old Testament. Both examples, Enoch and Elijah, foretell the experience, it's coming, of millions of believers in Jesus Christ at the time of rapture. And here's the passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, 17. In fact, there are quite a few Christians, so people who claim to be Christians, they do not believe in the rapture of the church. They cannot see it in the Bible. That's a doctrine. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, the members of Thornhill Community Church, will be caught up to, I'm kidding, will be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. It's in the Bible. The rapture. How about this text? 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the moment of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. It's another text on the rapture of the church. I hope, can we see the slide? Of the next one of the rapture. Oh, here we are. See? It's coming very soon. Here we go. And we're going to leave the cars, the furniture, the dishes, everything on the earth, just, and here we go. It can happen any time. It is necessary to mention that some Christian denominations do not believe in the biblical teaching on the rapture. They read the same Bible as we do, but they just cannot see it there. Many Christian denominations historically believed in the rapture. Rapture of the church is in the Bible. It's the biblical teaching. Back to chapter 5, to Enoch. Enoch was transported heaven prior to the global flood, just as the true church of Christ will be raptured to heaven before the great tribulation begins. Here we have different views among different Christian churches and denominations as well. Some Christians believe the rapture of the church will happen before 7 years of great tribulation. Others believe in the middle. Others believe after, somewhere at the end of tribulation. Revelation 3:10 says, I'm just giving you one verse, a very interesting, powerful verse. Revelation 3:10 says, God's Spirit is speaking to the church in Philadelphia. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Before the conclusion, application part of this message, let me introduce Noah to all of us in verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Only Noah and his three sons and their wives survived the global flood. The three sons of Noah and their wives gave rise to all the people who have ever lived on this planet since the global flood. Which means what? There'll be another passage in the days to come, Lord willing, in the Sundays to come. But think about it this way, before we read the conclusion to this message. We're all, even physically, related way down the line. Just look around. We're all related. Are you happy about that, or you're discouraged? So can you imagine, I'm your relative, or you are my relatives, because we're all descendants of Noah and his sons and his daughters-in-law, all of us. So just amazing. We may look different, we may speak different, yeah, we may look weird, but we're all related. We're all related to one another. Conclusion application, number one. There's no way anybody can fit millions of years into the Bible. There's no way. Genealogists in the Bible enable us to sum up all the years from Adam to Jesus' birth in Bethlehem and to our time. And if you make all the calculations, you will get around 6,000 years. Two, death is an appointment, not an accident. Enoch did not die. God raptured him away to heaven. This is the blessed hope of all Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. As human beings, point number three, as human beings, we can do nothing about sin and death. But like Enoch, we can walk with God in faithfulness. Like Enoch, we can tell others about Jesus Christ, the one who overcame sin and death on the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, 56, 57 says, every Resurrection Sunday service, now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Point number four, the name Noah means rest. The true rest has already come. And we can come to him and find true rest for our souls. Here's the invitation. It's in the Bible. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. The words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if somebody in our midst this Sunday morning, if you are not a Christian, come to Jesus if you're weary and heavy laden, because only Jesus can give you rest. Nothing and nobody else in the whole world. Nobody and nothing. Only Christ, the life giver, can give you the new life, new purpose in life while you're in this flesh and the eternity to come. Do not wait for too long, because you never know how long, how short your life can be in this world. Remember, an average 70 years, 80 years. But if you've been to the hospital recently or lately, you can see that many patients there are very young. People nowadays are dying from strokes and heart attacks at the age of 30, 35, 40, 45. Why? People are dying from cancer nowadays in any age group, any, and any other different, strange, weird diseases. Our life in this world is short. Come to Jesus, all who are weary and heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Let us pray and give God the glory for this genealogy and for the hope of the resurrection, for the hope of the rapture of the church, because it's all His grace and mercy to us.